Hey there, and welcome to America Trends for the Hour. I'm Amy Fuller, your host, and we do say welcome to our YouTube America TV audience and our Biz Talk radio audience. And guess what? Tonight, it's all about the business of show. We've got a pretty special hour for you, special entertainment. We're going to be hearing a lot about the great, the legendary Ella Fitzgerald on what would have been, she would have been turning 102 later this year. And in a nod to her centennial plus two, and because he wants to honor her for Black History Month, we have author, singer, and comedian Jeffrey Mark joining us and telling us all about his book and the part he played in her career, and then his amazing career on his own. Critics are calling this book The Last Word on Fitzgerald. And he also wrote about some other leading ladies. Oh, there's Ella with Dizzy Gillespie and some others. So he also wrote about Ethel Merman and Lucille Ball. We are going to hear from him and have Jeffrey Mark himself in the studio singing, but first, a little one-note samba, and that's from Ella.
Thank you so much. I have listened to so much beautiful jazz, and we thought that maybe some of the things we did were a little different, but they were a little jazzy in a way. So we'd like to just do a little impromptu thing, and thought maybe this would fit in with the theme. Okay? You know. Or would you rather do the blues? Do the blues? Oh, you don't know the blues? Okay. All right. Shunding the boom boom, bang ding 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 ding
And the living is easy. fish are jumping.
Gonna get that last note in. There we go. Ella Fitzgerald and the T. Carson Trio, Summertime, Porgy and Bess. Not bad, starting out with a little Gershwin. The First Lady of Song, that's singing in Berlin in 1968, Ella Fitzgerald. And we are joined for the hour with the man who wrote the book on Ella. He is a showman himself, author, singer, comedian, Mr. Jeffrey Mark. Welcome to America Trends.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here.
So good to see you and have you in the studio. We've had you on the show several times, and it's always just a great, great time. And your book is out now, and it's out in paperback.
It's out in paperback now so that you can get it a little less expensive. It was an expensive book to put together because
It's
got 280 photographs in it.
It's exhaustive. It's beautiful.
And there's two CDs of music that come with the soft cover edition so that you get... For the price of the book, you get two CDs, or for the price of the CDs, you get the book. So however you want to look at it, it's a bargain.
This deluxe version I'm holding, you open it up, it's got the CDs in it, and a portion of that goes back to...
The Ella Fitzgerald Charitable Foundation.
Yeah,
so we're happy to give and happy to receive. And
I'm just going to...
You can't get these
so
CDs.
Many beautiful pictures
you can't
and
get these CDs anywhere else. They were made just for us. I chose the songs. I sequenced them, just like Ella would have, because I know how to do that. Because I did it for Ella at the end of her career.
So, I want to talk with you a lot about everything you've done, and we're going to have you perform for us later. It's going to be so fun.
I'm excited.
But how did you get involved with? You've written books on Ethel Merman.
Yes.
Lucille Ball.
Yes.
A lot of leading ladies. Ella Fitzgerald,
And a cookbook, too.
What's it called?
It's called The Family Affair Cookbook. It's all recipes based on the old TV series Family Affair. If they mention any kind of a dish, I give you the recipe for it and I have a story about it. So it's...
That is amazing. That's another show, Jeffrey.
Well,
you just
anytime,
prompted us.
Anytime.
That is amazing. Okay, where were we? So Ella, you came... Something about Ella made you say, I'm going to write this book. And you did. What was it that made the connection with you and Ella Fitzgerald?
I shouldn't tell this story on myself because I'm breaking the law retroactively. I am a show business historian, as you know. So I know a lot about the history of show business. For some reason, up until the mid-70s, I didn't know a lot about Ella. I don't know how it went past me.
But did you like jazz yet, or the
not yet? I like big band music a lot,
sure,
but not jazz specifically. And a dear friend of mine invited me over to watch Dinah! Exclamation point!
Yeah, right.
And she was having a
Dinah
show
Shore.
About the first ladies. So she had Lucille Ball on as first lady of TV, and Beverly Sills on as first lady of opera, and Ella Fitzgerald on as first lady of song, and Elizabeth Taylor as first lady of films.
Okay.
So we wanted to watch all of that, and perhaps a little marijuana might have gotten imbibed that afternoon.
Not way back then. It wasn't legal.
It wasn't legal.
We're just going to leave it there.
But it's legal now, and that's where we're going to leave it. And Ella came on with Tommy Flanagan and a trio, and in fact, she sang that day on Dinah one of the songs I'm going to sing for you today.
Which one?
Ordinary Fool.
The one that's a little obscure for people who would know her songbook.
Nobody had ever heard of this thing before. I had never heard of it before. But when I saw her, I was like, wait a minute. She's pulling notes out of the air. Every breath, every phrase is perfect and new and in the moment. I must now know everything about her. And that began decades of research to do this book. And today I sing her music, and of course I got to work with her at the end of her career.
I want to ask you about that, but it just reminded me of a quote. Every chapter begins with a quote by Ella or about Ella in your book, and I love this one by Jimmy Rules. To Ella, everything is music. Music comes out of her. She walks down the street and she leaves notes.
Yes.
How beautiful is that?
It's the truth. I've never met a performer in music who was so married to the music the way Ella was. Other singers, they have their concerts, or they're at a Broadway show, or they're recording an album, and then they go home and they have a private life. Ella worked on the road until she got too ill to do it. About 42 weeks a year, two shows a night, 6 days a week. She recorded enough music in the studio and live between 1956 and 1960. those 4 years?
4 years.
To fill 27 CDs filled with music. That's how much, she's the most recorded female singer in history.
The most recorded female singer in all of history.
And she did TV, every variety show and talk show, and she made films, and she did tons of charity work. And one of the hallmarks, if you went to see Ella live anywhere, in March, you went to see Ella do a concert. She did these 18 songs. If you saw her in April, it was 18 different songs. She didn't have
That's
an
unheard
act.
Of.
She had, because she made so many albums, she had 300 or 400 arrangements that she could choose from of songs. And she would do what she felt like singing that night. So it was always something
wow.
different. She cared so much for her fans, so much that nobody should ever be bored by her in any way. So she worked, she wrote down every city she went to, what she sang, what the audience related to. She'd repeat those songs and make sure all the rest were different next time. But towards the end of her life, when illness was plaguing her, and memory problems plagued her, and her vocal quality wasn't what it had been, she began to sing the same 10 or 15 songs over and over again. And they brought me in, and I made lists. These are things she can still do. They're still in her vocal range. She can still remember these words, do them in this order, and she won't get overwhelmed by them. And I could go to her concerts with friends and say, you know what? She's going to sing that old Black Magic next. How do you know this? Oh, just a feeling I have.
Jeffrey Mark chose Ella Fitzgerald's song list at the end of her life.
Yeah, I'm the luckiest son of a gun in the world. Well, I really am.
The stories I've just heard from you in the green room alone, I mean, we should have been recording then. You've known people and been in interesting situations.
I was there when John Lennon was killed. You know, I'm like this Forrest Gump kind of guy in show business. I just happened to be at the right place, or in that case, maybe the wrong place at the right time, to witness things, to be a part of things. I'm lucky.
And that's
why,
we're lucky to have you as our ultimate showman. And here with us today, we're going to talk a little more, and you're going to sing for us up next, okay?
I can't wait.
I can't wait either. You know what Ira Gershwin said? We just heard her sing Summertime. I never knew how good our songs were until I heard Ella Fitzgerald singing them. To have a Gershwin say that, it's everything. Back with Jeffrey Mark after this.
And you take to the sky.
I want to do a ballad for you that Ella just loved, and you've never heard this song before. It's written by my friend Paul Williams. It was written for a film, but nobody saw. But Ella heard the song, and she sang it from the mid-1970s for the rest of her career, and I got to produce the session this music comes from. In this session, we use one of the best jazz trumpeters who's ever lived, my friend Jack Sheldon. In fact, this was his last studio recording. So through Paul Williams, who wrote it, through Jeff Stradling, who arranged it, through Jack's incredible trumpet solo, and through Jeffrey Mark, we bring you Ordinary Fool, boys. If you've ever loved and lost, this is the song for you. A fool like fools before me, I always think with my heart. Only a fool, the same old story, seems I was born for the part. The lessons that I've learned, the page I should have turned. I shouldn't cry, but I do, like an ordinary fool when his ordinary dream falls through. How
many times have I mistaken good looks and laughs for bad news? How many times have I mistaken love songs and laughs for the blues? When the road I've walked before ends alone at my front door, I shouldn't cry, but I do, like an ordinary fool would in his ordinary dream. Tell him how I feel, Jack. Yeah. See, he knows. Don't tell him everything. How many times have I mistaken good looks and laughs for bad news? How many times have I mistaken love songs and laughs for the blue goo? When the road I've walked before ends alone at my front door, I shouldn't cry, but I do, like an ordinary fool when his ordinary dream falls. Like an ordinary fool when his ordinary dream falls through. Ordinary dream falls through. Ordinary dream.
Quite a journey you took us on right there.
Well, it's very personal to me, as you know. Sometimes music is the best way I know to express what I'm feeling inside. And as you know, and some of our friends out there know, that my very longtime companion of 47 years passed away a few weeks ago. And it's hard not to sing something like that. We were talking about that and get very emotional, because that is indeed how I'm feeling right now. But the show does have to go on, and life does have to go on. And I think for those of us who have experienced loss, the pain never goes away, but it gets easier after a while. And I get lucky enough to sing my way through it.
Yeah.
So I can put a smile on my face, but there was 3 weeks there I did nothing but sob. It is what it is, you know. It's what life is. All of us experience it. Everybody watching has had loss. Everybody watching has had their heart broken in one form or another.
But I can't thank you enough for taking us on that journey with you and sharing it. We've all been an ordinary fool, and that was really something special, so I thank you so much.
It was my pleasure, believe me.
Jeffrey Mark is not only an award-winning author, but he interacted with Ella and her inner circle toward the end of her life. performed her songs with the original arrangements and told insider stories at every venue. So you go around and you do these things. Tell us about your life.
Oh, goodness. Well,
there you go. There's a little open-ended question for you.
Well, for those of you watching who are East Coast people, I was born in Brooklyn, New York. And they call me the last of the original Brooklyn Jewish entertainers.
Nice.
Because at
my age. That's something very special.
Well, there are so many of us. They don't seem to come out of Brooklyn too much anymore. The Jewish people, I mean. Yeah. But so I have that influence. And I spent a little time in Baltimore also along the way. I've known since I was 2 years old that I was going to be in show business. There's never been any doubt in my mind what was going to happen in my life. How it was going to happen.
No plan B.
No, there couldn't be.
Right.
This is the set of skills and talents God gave me.
Yeah.
And I just always knew. My grandmother always knew, too. She used to use Kitty Carlisle. There used to be a television show called To Tell the Truth that was on Monday nights before Lucy. And we'd all watch it as a family together. And my grandmother would say, see how Kitty Carlisle handles that? See how graceful she is? See how she holds her head up? See how she holds her hands? And my mother and grandmother would fight. Mom, he's 2 years old. What does he need with Kitty Carlisle?
Well, that's amazing.
My grandmother said, you don't know what's in your son. Someday, he'll be sitting in her living room telling this story. And 40 years later, I was in Kitty Carlisle's living room telling her this story.
Jeffrey.
That alone makes the whole career worth it.
I want to hear more, but we've got a hard break, and then we're going to see Mac the Knife. It's going to be great.
Ooh, yay.
And a nice story from Jeffrey Mark, the author, the entertainer. Back after this.
As I travel around the country, the question I get asked most is, when did Ella go from being a star or a singer to being a legend? And really, it happened in a moment, in an instant of time. In 1960, Ella was touring in Europe. And the year before, 1959, both Bobby Darin and Louis Armstrong had big hits with a song called Mac the Knife. The song came from a Broadway show. It was sung slowly and funereally. They sang it finger snapping up tempo. Number one, both of them. I don't know that that's ever happened any other time where two different singers had a number one song with the same song. So Ella's manager, Norman Granz, comes backstage in Berlin. She's about to go out in front of 10,000 people and says, I want you to sing Mac the Knife. We've never heard a girl do it before. And Ella, being the obedient person that she was, said, no, I don't like the song. I don't like the words. I don't even know it. I don't understand it. I'm not going to do it. And they begin to argue. So Ella's pianist, Paul Smith, pulls her aside and says, Ella, this is one song in a large concert. We'll do one chorus. I'll play this little piano vamp. Do one chorus and get off. This isn't worth your getting upset over. It'll be fine. And as she's walking out, Norman says to her, they're Germans. They don't even understand English. They won't know the difference. Well, she gets out there and gets two or three choruses into the song and not only forgets the words, I think she forgot what country she was in. And on her feet, in front of 10,000 people, she made up a whole new song with all the words rhyming where they were supposed to, the words fit the meter, as if she'd spend weeks or months writing this thing. At the end of it, the Germans rose to their feet because Norman Granz was wrong. They did speak English, and they knew exactly what she had just accomplished. That moment in time is the best example of jazz singing there ever has been and there ever will be, and she got two Grammy Awards for doing it. And as a Grammy nominee myself, I'm going to tell you, they're not easy to come by. Well, in a moment, we're going to have Paul Smith playing that vamp. I'm not going to imitate Ella, but we're going to do my version of Mac the Knife, and we hope you like it. Gentlemen, play Paul Smith. There he is. You never know. From a simple background like this, magic can be made. We hope you like the way I do it. Oh, we're sharp and pretty teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has my Keith, dear, and it keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, wears MacKeith, dear, so there's not a trace of red on a sidewalk on a Sunday morning. Lies a body, oozing life. Someone sneaking round the corner. Tell me, could it be old Mac the Knife on a dug boat down by the river going slow? A cement bag is drooping on down, but the cement's just, it's just for the weight there. Five will get you ten. That Mackie, ooh, old Mackie's back in town. Yeah, Louie Miller, he disappeared, dear, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. Now Mackie, dear, he spends like a sailor. Tell me, could that boy do something rash? Oh, Bobby, Darren, Louis Armstrong, they had hit records. They both went to number one. And then Ella and her fellas, they made music history. Oh, just by having fun. Yes, she sung. Yes, she swung. She swung old Mac. She swung old Mackie down. For you people here who are watching us this very minute, I'm gonna sing one. I'm gonna swing one. I'm gonna add one more bebop. Ba-ba-doot, bit, ba-ba-doot-ya-doot, bee. Ba-da-da-loo-ba-doo-bow-wow. Cha-boo-doo-yo-ba-doo-ba-doo-beat, beat, 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 beat. Ba-doo-yo-sha-ba-doo-doo-ba-doo-yo-wow-ba-doo-doo-bip-bop. Ba-bip-bop-bop. Cha-ba-ba-doo-yo-ba-ba-doo-bop-ba-dow. Ha-da-da-yo-bop. Cha-bay. Cha-ba-da-ba-doo-bop-bop-wop-doo-wow. So we leave you here in San Diego town. We have all swung Mackie down. So for you Ella fans, and if there's any Jeffrey Mark fans here too, we told you, look out. Old Mackie's back in
It's so much fun to watch you and enjoy you perform.
Hey, that kid's not bad.
That kid is not bad. My goodness, that was a real, real treat.
It's a joy to do. It's such a joy. I hope everyone watching was having as much fun as I was.
Oh, and that's what you do. You go around and do this.
Oh, absolutely. I got to bring the joy to the people.
Yeah. Yeah. So Ella didn't want to sing Mac the Knife. Did she change her mind after that great performance? What a great story.
You know, it's funny. She had to sing the song the rest of her life, everywhere she went. In fact, she would avoid it sometimes and not use it in the shows. And she'd come out and do encores and they'd scream, Mac the Knife. She did for me once. In Carnegie Hall, long before I wrote her or did anything, she came out for an encore And what do you want to hear, folks? And I waited, and I just screamed, Mack the Knife!
Seriously?
And
wow.
She said, all right, darling, just for you. And she sang the song to me. So, yeah,
she
this is a lot of meeting.
She probably loved hearing that story later once you started working with her.
Yes, she laughed.
Oh, gosh. Jeffrey Mark wrote the book on Ella. This is his book right here. It's out in paperback right now. The critics call him a walking encyclopedia of show business, and you can see why. I'm going to talk a little bit about more what you do, Ella, and also Ethel Merman and Lucille Ball. You wrote the book on them, too.
And anything else you want to talk about?
And anything else.
Right
we'll
after
see
the break.
What happens. After, you want to throw?
Hey, folks, don't go away. We'll be right back.
Pretty baby. Department.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the candy will pass by on this conveyor belt and continue into the next room where the girls will pack it. Now, your job is to take each piece of candy and wrap it in one of these papers and then put it back on the belt. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Yes ma'am. Let her roll! Let her roll! Well, wait here. Somebody's asleep at the switch.
What are you doing up here? I thought you were downstairs boxing chocolates.
Oh, they kicked me out of there fast.
Why?
I kept pinching them to see what kind they were. This is the fourth department I've been in.
Oh, I didn't do so well either.
No. All right, girls. Now, this is your last chance. If one piece of candy gets past you and into the packing room unwrapped, you're fired.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's the everybody.
And I have
you got to go watch. Everyone has to go watch that.
I have a story. So Lucy,
of course you do. You wrote the book on Lucille Ball. We're back with Jeffrey Mark on America Trends. Thanks for coming in.
I'm having so much fun. We have to come back again.
Got to hear your story.
So the clip you just saw was the Candy Factory episode. And the woman who let her roll was a wonderful character actress. Let her roll. Now I won't be able to sing. Was a wonderful actress named Elvia Allman. But even as funny as she was, and she worked everywhere, it wasn't enough money for her to live on. So when she wasn't on a show like that, she sold property. She was a real estate person, and she sold Betty White and Alan Ludden their home in Los Angeles. And Betty shows up for the appointment, and she goes, wait a minute. We've worked together. Yes, 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 but I'm here to sell you a house.
I'll be darned.
Because you can't always make a living in show business, even if you're well known as she was.
No, but that passion, you can't let it go either. So
no.
You just got to do both, right?
No, we can't let it go. We were talking about that off camera before. You can have all the talent in the world in show business, but if you haven't got the burning ambition to succeed, you're not going to get anywhere. Mm. And you and I burn to accomplish things with our talents. It's one thing just to have them, but you've got to take that talent and put it out and go, look, I'm here and this is what I do. Well, and get out of my way.
That's right. And I think somewhere back in our childhood, and I appreciate theater, I'm not a great performer, not like you, but the point is, back when we were young, at some point, something made such an impression on us,
yes,
touched us profoundly, that someone else was giving, like you're giving tonight on this program, and you're sort of giving it back.
Well, this is, I have to assume, every human being on this planet, whoever's looking or listening to us tonight, you have a talent. God gave you something. Whether you're a wonderful host in your own home, or you can fix cars wonderfully, or you look great in your underwear. Whatever it is that your talent is, use it.
Something for everybody.
Take it and use it and share it with the other people on the planet. And if you do that, it's a win-win. You get satisfaction out of using the talent, and they get satisfaction out of having the talent shared with them. And if everyone did that, we'd all be like really happy in life.
So that's all it is.
It is that simple. It really is that simple. I'll write a book, Jeffrey Solved It, that no one will buy, but I have solved. That's why I'm a contented person. Mm-hmm. We were talking about my losing Joel a little while ago.
Yeah.
How can I come here and smile and sing? Because I'm a contented man. No matter what happens in life, I'm still a contented man. Happy all the time? No, not happy all the time. Contented and grateful. And as long as I hold on to those two things, I can handle anything.
Well, you've spent all your life in show business.
And 45 years. It's okay. Everybody knows how old I am. These days, you can't lie anymore. IMDb will look you up, and they know how old you are.
But you appeared, just think of what you've gotten to do and who you've gotten to meet. I wouldn't take nothing from my journey now, and I know you wouldn't either, right?
To sit with Milton Berle, to sit and write with Steve Allen, to know people like William Asher, who was the producer of Bewitched and the Beach Blanket movies, Jack Riley from the Bob Newhart Show was a dear, dear friend of mine. Dawn Wells from Gilligan's Island. Marianne is one of my closest friends, kids. Yeah, I'm the luckiest son of a gun on the planet. I keep saying that about myself. See, you balance out. You have your knocks, but look at all the wonderful stuff I get to do. Being here with you is such a pleasure. Yeah, maybe you're not a theater actress, but look how good you are doing this. And here you are doing it.
You're so kind. Well, because you've done Off-Broadway.
Yes.
Summer Stock.
Films.
Singer, stand-up comedian, New York City. You've done cruise ships, nightclubs.
Yes.
And let's not forget, proud recipient of an Emmy Award and Grammy Award nomination. So that'd be pretty cool.
I wish there was a better word than lucky. I've worked
Hashtag blessed.
I've worked I've worked very hard. Nothing is just given to you in life. I have worked my elderly behind off to have all this happen to me. And some of it is luck. It is. Mm-hmm. Right place, right time. Some of it is who you get to meet. To be there when John Lennon is killed, to know Freddie Mercury at the height of his career. If you get my meaning, I knew Freddie Mercury. Mm. So that's a conversation for another time. But
we've only got 3 minutes of the segment, and we haven't even gotten to Lucille and Ethel yet. Got so many tangents here.
Lucille Ball is the greatest comedy actress in history.
But you had to write a book about her. Was she the first one that you wrote a book about, or was it Ethel?
No. This is my second book on Ella. First book was an Ella book done a long time ago.
But Ethel Merman, too.
Ethel Merman, too. But Lucille Ball book was written because. There was a because for Lucille Ball. There was this spate of biographies written about Miss Ball and Mr. Arnaz, full of misinformation about drugs and drinking and sex and cheating and lying, and three quarters of what they said wasn't true. And who cares? We watch I Love Lucy and all the rest of her shows because they're wonderful. The work is what's important. No one had written about the work. So I wrote a book about the work.
Okay.
It's only about her television
career.
People
have to get that book because what she and Desi accomplished did so much for television, what was to come next.
What she and Desi and 100 very talented people, and we have to mention Jess Oppenheimer, who created the show and produced the show, and Bill Frawley and Vivian Vance, who were their co-stars, everybody worked to invent something brand new that is now the template that everybody else uses. And to this day, the show is being watched and enjoyed because of the 100 people and because Miss Ball was the greatest comedy actress in history. She wasn't a stand-up comedian. She was an actress who made you laugh. Because
nice.
A stand-up couldn't do what you're watching right now. It takes an actress to make you believe that that's really happening. So while you're watching this, folks, when we go to the break, understand that takes an actress. We'll be right back.
What he said. On the town, we walk in and you draw a crowd.
Good morning, heartache. You old gloomy sight.
That song. Good morning, heartache, and that is the great Ella Fitzgerald. The man who wrote the book is with us in studio. Jeffrey Mark, thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. That was Ella in London at Ronnie Scott's nightclub.
You just know all that off the top of your head.
Yes. In April of 1974.
Son of a gun. I want to make sure that we've come to the end of our time, which is sad.
How
and so
can
fast.
That be? We started 3 minutes ago.
It was 3 minutes, 30 seconds at least, but it's just... we'll have you back. Got to talk
Anytime.
About you and all your leading ladies. And this book, it'd be her 100th second birthday this year. The book on Ella, all your other books, and they can find them at Amazon, yeah?
Go to Amazon.com. The hardcover and softcover books are there. The softcover book has the CDs in it, included in the price. And see the price there? That's much too much money. It's much less expensive now for the softcover edition. And if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook and talk to me and get autographed copies and ask me questions, and I'm available.
And I think it's time now to throw to the Sweet Georgia Brown, right?
Yeah.
Got a little bit of that going on.
Well, right? can I sing Sweet Georgia Brown for you?
Yeah, let's sing. Let's have you sing for us.
Okay, guys, I'm going to sing Sweet Georgia Brown just for you.
No gal mate has got a shake it on Sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet, but oh so neat, has Sweet Georgia Brown. They all sigh and wanna cry for Sweet Georgia Brown. I'll tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much, 'cause it's been said she knocks them dead when she lands and down. What a shame, what a shame. How now, how now she cools him down. The feller she can't get, of the feller she ain't met. Georgia named, Georgia claimed her Sweet Georgia Brown. No gal mate has got a shade on Sweet Georgia Brown. Two left feet so neat has Georgia Brown. They all sigh and wanna cry for that Georgia Brown. I'll tell you just why. You know I don't lie, not much, 'cause it's been said she knocks him dead when she lands, when she lands, when she lands in town. What a shame, what a shame. How she cools them down. The feller she can't get, the feller she ain't met. Georgia named, Georgia claimed, Sweet Georgia Brown. No gal, not one gal, 's gotta shake it on Georgia Brown. 2 feet so neat, hey, that Georgia Brown. They all sigh and wanna cry for that Georgia Brown. Listen what I tell you. You know, you know, you know, you know, you know I don't lie. For the tips, the water slips to Sweet Georgia Brown. They buy clothes at fashion shows with $1 down. Fellers, she can't get out of fellers. She ain't mad, well, oh boy. Tip your hats for all joy. She's the catch, she's no gal. She's got a shade on Sweet. She's got 2 left feet. But oh, so neat. She's got money and clothes and diamonds too. There's just nothing that gal can do. She's got the guys all hanging around. How she rigging.